Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the station Wichita turns to first for live team coverage of breaking news. KNSS, Wichita's number one news, talk, and weather station. Depend on it.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Flooding's causing some big problems in several states. We've got the story.
Suspect arrested in vandalism case at Town West. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Governor Kelly calls understaffing at the El Dorado prison a crisis. I'm Dan O'Neill.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday. Rain chances are going to increase as we go into this afternoon and this evening. Our full forecast and what to expect is up in just a few minutes.
Dams are breaking and thousands are being forced out of their homes in the Midwest as melting snow and heavy rains flood areas from Nebraska to Missouri. Republican Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse says it's staggering.
Governor Ricketts and I were with the National Guard all day on Saturday visiting some of the most impacted communities, and it's really quite stunning. We have 93 counties. 53 of them have issued emergency declarations.
Senator Sasse says he's working with the Trump administration to get federal aid to Nebraska as quickly as possible. Vice President Mike Pence will survey the flood damage in Nebraska today.
The situation at the El Dorado Correctional Facility is being called a crisis. The Union for Corrections Officers says the staffing shortage is a race against time to add more officers and increase safety before something bad happens.
Kansas Governor Laura Kelly says she believes the staffing problem is a crisis, and she's convened a legislative task force to find some solutions. KSN News reports unnamed sources say there are too many mandatory overtime hours for the guards, and some have even volunteered to work 80 hours a week. That's something the governor says she is aware of and will be working to correct.
It is a dangerous situation for our employees in those institutions, and we have a moral responsibility to do something as quickly as we can.
The governor says first they need to find some money to hire more officers, then work to find long-term solutions. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
After recent copper thefts in the area, a suspect was arrested following multiple cases of vandalism in West Wichita. Police Officer Charlie Davidson says it happened early Friday evening as an off-duty officer was working security at Town West Square Shopping Center.
The officer was notified by a citizen of an unknown male near a light pole that appeared to be cutting wires and then leaving in a gold-colored sedan. Officers responded to the area and located the vehicle traveling southbound on West Street.
The car was being driven by a 16-year-old boy, and there was another teenage boy in the car as well. The adult suspect bailed from the car and tried to run, but he was apprehended. Turns out a half dozen light poles in the Town West parking lot had been damaged. 43-year-old Rodney Kane was booked into jail for multiple counts of destruction to property, an aggravated weapons violation, and an outstanding arrest warrant.
Today's Wichita City Council meeting will have a late start at 6 p.m., accommodating citizens who want to have their say about plans for a new baseball stadium. Mayor Jeff Longwell tells KNSS News.
We're really looking forward to the presentation because we're able now to release more information. Some of this stuff takes a while to put it all together, and so one of the developers in the area approached us last Friday and wanted to be a part of the presentation.
Longwell commented during Mondays with the Mayor on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show here on KNSS.
A chemical storage facility in Houston has been burning since Sunday, and authorities say it could burn for another couple of days.
You can see the smoke coming from the ITC facility for miles. As the flames continue to burn, county officials and other agencies will have their work cut out for them.
Right now what we're seeing is no elevated levels because the plume is high enough that it's not affecting us here close to the ground.
Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo held a press conference to address the public's concerns. While presently the air quality readings are coming up normal, the weather will ultimately be the determining factor if the air quality changes. While the county continues monitoring levels with mobile units and fixed air quality monitors, some are concerned with what the future holds.
That's Natasha Geigel of Fox affiliate KRIV in Houston reporting. KNSS News time now, 8:04, 4 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Let's get started tonight with the NCAA men's basketball tournament with a couple of games. We'll preview that coming up in sports.
A lawyer is suing Twitter over allegedly unfair treatment. That story coming up on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted, now 8:07, 7 minutes past 8 o'clock. Emporia State University political scientist Michael Smith has an idea for the Rural Revitalization Committee, chaired by former Kansas House Majority Leader, Republican Don Heineman of Dighton. Smith says businesses make more decisions based on workforce than they do based on tax breaks.
Employer after employer in rural Kansas and in other places, too, have said the big thing we need right now are workers. With a lot of young people moving out of rural Kansas, particularly the college-educated young people, you can't just depend on the people that grew up there to be that workforce. You've got to bring in new folks, and you've got to create a place where they're comfortable living and raising families.
Smith says Amazon building its headquarters in Northern Virginia shows that locating where workers want to live is more important than how much it will cost to locate there.
A lawmaker is suing Twitter over allegedly, quote, unfair treatment.
California Republican Devin Nunes accuses Twitter of shadow banning conservatives, including his own account, to restrict free speech. The suit also accuses the platform of knowingly hosting fake accounts containing abusive, hateful, and false content, facilitating defamation of him and others. Nunes and Fox's Hannity Monday night.
The case we're basically making is this was an orchestrated effort. So people were targeting me. There were anonymous accounts that were developed. And look, there's not supposed to be. These accounts aren't supposed to exist.
Nunes, the ranking member on the House Intelligence Committee, is seeking over $250 million in compensatory and punitive damages. Twitter says they're not commenting at this time. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
A Facebook clip showing a cow fleeing from police to hide out at a Chick-fil-A.
Why did the cow cross the road? Apparently to hide out at a Chick-fil-A. Video taken in Noblesville, Indiana shows a runaway bovine stopping traffic running from police toward the chicken chain. The pair who captured the clip of the cow on the move couldn't help but laugh.
Just going, okay.
Since Chick-fil-A's mascot is a cow telling folks to eat more chicken, some wondered if it was a marketing campaign. The Noblesville Police Department didn't say where the cow came from, but poked fun at the incident, posting on Facebook, "Officers ran with the bulls." Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
KNSS News time now, 8:10, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock.
We've got a traffic accident now. You'll want to avoid this one. Eastbound on Kellogg at West Street. Exit before you get there, if you can. Again, that's eastbound on Kellogg at West Street. Six vehicles involved in this traffic accident. Things are backing up there. Again, eastbound Kellogg at West Street. Avoid the area for the time being. Traffic update from KNSS Radio. I'm Jed Chambers.
And now the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. With a mostly cloudy sky in south central Kansas, our chance of rain will increase as we go into the afternoon. It'll be breezy today, mid-50s at noontime, 61 for the afternoon high. A 40% chance of rain through tonight, our low 38, and with a clearing sky, sunshine Wednesday and near 60. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Now mostly cloudy, 41 degrees. We have a southeast wind at 8 miles per hour. KNSS weather brought to you by the Monarch. It's the perfect place for conversation and cocktails. Monarch offers a military discount for current and retired veterans. The Monarch in Delano. A beautiful sunny day across central Kansas Monday. Getting an early start on spring, Ted, which starts tomorrow at 4:58 p.m. our time. Wichita's high temperature was 62 degrees, normal high 59. This is March 19th. On this date in 1907, the high temperature reached 91 degrees. Ooh. In Wichita, the earliest 90-degree reading. Whoa. In the city's history. That was way back in 1907. 8:11 now, Steve and Ted here on KNSS, and Kansas is getting a little publicity, you might say. There's a court case going on involving citizenship, proof of citizenship, and voting. And Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers is with us this morning to talk about it. Good morning, Tanya.
I feel like I should be asking y'all the questions on this particular
story. We've kind of been living with this story for a couple, 3 years now.
I know.
And it's one of those things where we had to dig out, go find my birth certificate or something to make sure I was a citizen or a passport or something.
That's exactly exactly what I wanted to ask you guys about, because I know this law was in effect, the proof of citizenship before you can register to vote law was in effect there for 3 years, from 2013 to 2016. And I just want to make sure I'm right on that. You did have to fish out your birth certificate and take it when you registered?
Well, we had to have some sort of proof that we are citizens, and that was one of the things. And the whole idea was that people were, cheating and voting erroneously and whatnot. They found out there were about two people at the end of the day. So this
and that was going to be my next question, because I know the Solicitor General, Toby Kraus, said, you know, and this was all before this federal appeals court. There was a three-judge panel of the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals in Salt Lake City that's hearing this. And the, arguments were yesterday. And the Solicitor General there, Toby Kraus, is asking the court to reinstate that law where you have to provide proof of citizenship before you can register to vote. They said, well, the problems that we had implementing this in those 3 years that it was going on, we can fix those. The judge basically said there's evidence that more than 30,000 people were prevented from registering to vote, even though nearly all of them were citizens. So that's a lot of people that didn't get to vote. And that was going to be my question for you. How, in the question of fraud with all of this, which I'm sure that's what they leaned on to do this in the first place, how was it widespread? Was there a lot of cases of that?
Well, if you start at the beginning, our Secretary of State got the power to, usually the Secretary of State in Kansas has been kind of a benign person who monitors voting and whatnot. This Secretary of State got the power to actually enforce laws and make laws, I guess, and away he went. He didn't want people who were not citizens voting. He perceived there was a problem. And frankly, when this all started several years ago, I went to our Sedgwick County Election Commissioner. I said, is there a problem with illegal voting? And this guy was a staunch Republican. Nope. No problem here. So,
wow.
From the start, there were many of us who said, what's the problem? Now, at the end of the day, are those 30,000 people going to get to vote? Sure, I guess. But how much is that costing the old taxpayers of Kansas to go through all these court cases?
Yeah, very good question. And that's just one of the questions. I mean, there was a lot of back and forth over the voter ID laws in different states. I mean, different states have different ways of implementing these and that kind of stuff. But I found this case extremely interesting, just for on the basis alone of that 30,000 people who weren't allowed to register to vote, even though they were all citizens and should have been.
For the most part, if you're registered to vote in my county, I go in, my name's there, I've been registered for 40 years, 45, 50 years. There's my name. Here's my ID. It's me. Okay, go ahead, vote. I mean, it's not that complicated on the local level, but here we are, the state of Kansas still pursuing. What's interesting, though, that this all was done during the Republican administration. We now have a Democrat governor. I'm sure she doesn't support any of this.
That's the other thing I was going to ask you. I know your governor changed, hands from Chris Kobach to Laura Kelly. And, of course, Chris Kobach was the guy who was leading the voter fraud commission that the president put together right after 2016 when he said there were 3 million illegal votes cast. And then the secretaries of state of different states said we didn't have any fraud. I mean, not widespread anyway. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of wondered what feedback you're getting from your listeners about this.
Are they arguing that that they do what legally they can do this, even if there's not a problem, they can do this? And the other attorneys are saying, where's the problem? I guess that's what you're telling us this morning.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a really interesting thing when the voter fraud commission was actually put in place, and then they went through all of the thing, and they finally got disbanded, I guess. But it never was that was never proven that there were all those millions of votes that were illegally cast. There was no proof to any of that. So that's kind of why I was wondering how people in your state are. Are they supportive of this law? Do they want it to come back?
Yeah, there are at least 30,000 who are not.
Right.
But your three judge panel they haven't really concluded anything yet, have they?
No, I'm looking to see when they thought they might have some sort of answer on this, and I didn't see any sort of date. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's something that will take a few months or weeks or what's going on.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you for your help this morning. We appreciate it. Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers talking about Kansas in a court of appeals trying to resurrect or prove that our citizen identification law is a good law. And, of course, that's what this three-judge panel is going to have to decide. 8:17 now, Steve and Ted. And I know Ted has been wondering and...
What have I been wondering?
Concerned about who actually was Jack the Ripper. The person who killed at least five women in Whitechapel, District of London, between August and November of 1888.
A perplexing case for the last 130 years.
Well, it's fascinated a lot of people, okay? A forensic investigation now published in the Journal of Forensic Scientists has identified the killer as Aaron Kosminski, who was a 23-year-old Polish barber and prime suspect at the time. Now, that was over 100 years ago, okay? And now they've had enough DNA to actually, you know, match up the DNA. And the results are being published in the Journal of Forensic Sciences.
So they say.
So now they know who Jack the Ripper was. And like I said, a lot of people made movies and television shows out of that over the years. 818 Down, Steve and Ted here on KNSS. It is Sports Time with Ted Woodward. And I'll tell you what, it is basketball we're talking about today.
Here we go. Yep, March Madness. The NCAA men's basketball tournament begins tonight in Dayton, Ohio with two games. Among the first four on tap, the 16 seeds meet up first. It's Fairleigh Dickinson and Prairie View A&M. Prairie View is in the tournament for the first time in 21 years. Fairleigh Dickinson is a 1.5-point favorite going into this one tonight. And that will get underway a little after 5:30 p.m. And then after that, it's a pair of 11 seeds. It's Temple out of the American Conference taking on Belmont. They both got at-large bids. Temple's last game, of course, was that loss to Wichita State in the quarterfinals of the American tournament. Despite that loss, Temple did get an at-large bid into the NCAA tournament. Temple is a 3.5-point underdog tonight against Belmont. You can hear both those games on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM, your home in Wichita for the NCAA tournament. And that action starts a little after 5:30 p.m. this evening. So listen to both those games tonight on KFH. The NIT begins tonight with 10 games. The Shockers don't play until tomorrow evening, but there are 10 games on the schedule tonight, including Wright State at Clemson. The winner of that game will play the winner of the Wichita State-Furman game in the following round. You've got Colorado hosting Dayton tonight. Of course, Colorado, led by head coach Tad Boyle, former Wichita State assistant coach, played at KU. Texas, out of the Big 12, is home tonight, hosting South Dakota State in the NIT. Memphis out of the American Conference hosting San Diego tonight in the NIT as well. JUCO Women's Basketball, the National JUCO Tournament beginning yesterday in Lubbock, Texas. First round game saw number 13 seed Hutchinson Community College with an easy win in the opening round, beating number 20 Western Nebraska 81-60. The Hutchinson ladies under head coach John Onches, now 31-3 on the season. They advance into the Sweet 16. In the NBA last night, the Toronto Raptors beat the bottom team in the league, beat the New York Knicks easily, 128-92. In the starting lineup for the Toronto Raptors, former Wichita State point guard Fred VanVleet. And Fred had a big game last night. 13 points and 12 assists. His first career double-double in the NBA.
Wow.
For Fred VanVleet.
Great.
Last time he had a double-double, he was with the Shocks. Well, I bet he had some double-doubles in the G League. But anyway,
it could be.
Fred's first double-double in the NBA. He is helping Toronto right now, who is the number two team in the NBA right now. They've won four of their last six. And cruising on in, finishing up the regular season, getting in for a run in the playoffs. We've got college baseball here in town this afternoon for Friends University. And Friends is hosting a top 10 team. Ninth-ranked University of Science and Arts of Oklahoma is coming in here into Wichita to play Friends at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Science and Arts has a good pitching staff. They are number two in the nation in earned run average, and they have a record of 22-4. Top 10 team coming in to play Friends at 2 o'clock this afternoon in some college baseball action. And a happy birthday today to the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. Happy birthday to Andy Reid, who is 61 today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Andy Reid.
Of course, the Chiefs kingdom.
Mitch Holtis, play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, said before, Andy Reid kind of looks like Uncle Ned coming into your family picnic with the potato salad, but There's Andy Reid doesn't there. Always. Yeah, there's a competitive fire that burns underneath that avuncular exterior.
I would imagine if you're out there loafing or not doing things right, then Andy's going to tell you about it. In no uncertain
terms. Happy birthday, Coach Reid. He's 61 today. At Sports with Steve and Ted, KNSS.
8:22 now. Keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute. And Sean's going to be talking about something called the CNN I Report.
Okay.
Yeah, that's coming up.
The letter I or the word?
I don't know because he just says it.
He just said
E-Y-E
it. Well, we'll find out then, yeah.
Yeah, Sean Hannity coming up here. Steve and Ted on KNSS.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.